You're listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Tony St. Tone and Janie Beauclair.
Good afternoon and welcome to this edition of Humanitarian Radio. I am Janie Beauclair.
And I'm Tony St. Tone.
And hey, we're welcoming our friends and our family. And if you are a first-time listener to our show, we're happy to have you. We are a feel-good show shouting out some good news from around the world. And you can expect some great positive music by St. Tone, as well as some great innovative guests every week. And see what's going on around the USA with our events calendar.
So today's guest is Brookshire Lafayette. He's a producer, a talent agent, and an entrepreneur of a lot of positive things. He wears many hats, and I can't wait for you to hear his story.
Yeah, he's got a lot of great things going on. Very exciting. And I want to talk about someone that we went to visit a few days ago and what a cool experience it was. Tony and I took part in an interesting evening with a young lady named Shishi O'Donnell. We went to her home. She had a group of people. She's an intuitive. And she did this exercise that I think was a really good eye-opener. There was four or five of us that were there. The idea was how to grow your intuition. And she did this cool exercise, as I was saying, and this is how it went. Everybody closed their eyes. One person say what they would like information on.
They ask a question.
Yeah. And each person in the room tells what their first thoughts were and what their immediate reaction was to that. What I thought was really cool was you realize how intuitive you are. And you realize that no matter if you've ever thought you were intuitive in your life, you can jump into the intuitive game really easy because your brain automatically does it. So I thought that that experience was really neat. There was one gentleman there, a friend of ours, and he's like, I'm not intuitive, yet he had some fabulous, profound thoughts on everybody's subject. And as we went around the room and each person said what color they were seeing, what their first thought was for the other person. It was a real cool experience, and it really was encouraging, showing me how simple it is for someone to get started if they want to explore just how intuitive they are.
Oh, right, and tapping into your higher self. And I think what happens is it's like anything else. It's a muscle. If you work out on your body every day, then you'll start getting stronger, and if you stretch, you'll be able to stretch more.
And this is a stretch of the imagination.
This is a stretch of your,
well, it's not imagination, because
of your third
reality.
Eye, of your intuitiveness, of your gut feelings. And so, how do you trust that gut feeling that you get? We all get gut feelings, so now it's a matter of how to tap into it and how to trust it. So, yeah, it's a great class. If you live in the Hollywood area, I believe she gets together every Monday night in Hollywood, right underneath the Hollywood sign. So definitely.
Check out Shishi O'Donnell. We'll have her on our show coming up too, so you'll get to hear her firsthand. She's found a way to turn a major tragedy in her life into a beautiful, positive thing, and we're going to let her talk about that also.
So another cool thing that we did this past week is we went to a three-day seminar with James Smith, and it's real estate investment. And Janie and I have had some experience about that in the past, but this was a lot of really cool information as far as what's going on right now and what are the new trends. But the coolest thing about this guy's program is he looks for win-win situations. So the seller is winning and the buyer is winning, and also
the banks.
The banks are winning, but also towns or the communities that these places are in. So one of the things that he talked about was buying mobile home parks and how they bring the value up, and also finding homes for veterans and finding homes for the elderly. And I think that was a really cool thing.
But they buy mobile home parks and then they put veterans in them, homeless veterans, and get them off the streets, which is a triple win-win because the people that are getting into these parks are people who are suffering. And that's a beautiful program as well. So what I got out of it was you could raise your financial stability while helping people from around the world that are kind of down and out, and doing it in a positive way so that it brightens your community because you're cleaning up and taking care of old houses that have been really left by the wayside. You're putting people in them that are sleeping under bridges and horrible, you know, situations. And you're also growing your financial stability at the same time. So what a cool program. And the guy's just a really dynamic speaker. So I would recommend checking that avenue out if you're looking for a way to help, but you're also looking for a way to, you know, elevate your financial situation as well.
Yeah, I agree. There's always something new that you can learn. And even if something that you feel you already have a good grasp on, there's more information out there. So if you continue your education, and these days I feel like you really have to just stay ahead of the game. You need to constantly be learning something new because technology is moving at such a fast rate that if you don't keep up, you might be left behind. So
yeah, absolutely. And a lot of people, they stop after high school and college. They stop educating themselves and they just go on living a life. And it's really important that you continue to work that muscle in your brain and keep it learning and keep it educated and keep it, you know, up on the things going on so that you can continue to improve your life.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, another thing is like yesterday we got a phone call from Sherry Watson, and some of you might remember her. She is the nonprofit expert, and she was one who helped inspire me to start my nonprofit, Spirit of Music Foundation.
Yeah.
And she's doing a really great event coming up.
She is. She's doing an event in March in San Diego, and she's invited Humanitarian Radio and the Spirit of Music Foundation to be involved, and it's called The Power of Purpose, which is a beautiful thing. We're going to have her on our show next week, and we look forward to hearing all about the great things going on. I'm going to give you a little sneak hint. She told me that last week, Donald Trump gave a $100,000 donation to one of her students who is helping veterans find homes.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Very interesting.
Doesn't matter what your political affiliation is. The fact that he gave $100,000 to somebody last week that's involved with her is beautiful. She's going to tell how that happened. And we'll look forward to hearing her interesting stories.
Well, when you hear that sound, you know it is time for our quote of the week.
So today's quote comes from Mother Teresa. I've heard the name a million times and I've seen her face on TV, but I didn't really know much about her. And I found this thing, which was really cool. I thought Mother Teresa apparently spent 60 years in the slums of India and basically contributed her time to helping the lepers and people with disease and people that were forgotten. So in 1974, she said the following quote, and I was surprised at how relevant it still is today. So ready? Here we go. Life is an opportunity. Benefit from it. Life is beauty. Admire it. Life is a dream. Realize it. Life is a challenge. Meet it. Life is a duty. Complete it. Life is a game. Play it. Life is a promise. Fulfill it. Life is sorrow. Overcome it. Life is a song. Sing it. Life is a struggle. Accept it. Life is a tragedy. Confront it. Life is an adventure. Dare it. Life is luck. Make it. Life is too precious. Do not destroy it. Life is life. Fight for it.
You know, when I hear all those different quotes, it almost sounds like it could be either a song or it could be like different quotes that you put on a t-shirt. I mean, it's like each one has this really profound meaning, and it's so, they're simple little
very
profound
simple
meanings, but yet you're like, wow, that's got a lot of weight to it.
Well, and you realize that this is coming from a person who spent 60 years in the slums of India, and
right,
this is her perspective. That was what was impressive for me. And I thought, you know, this so applies today, even though this was 1974, it so applies today and every day. And I think this is probably a set of quotes here that will never be old. You know what I mean?
Sure. They're always going to apply.
Current.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you to Mother Teresa. A lot of wisdom, obviously. And I found that on YouTube. There is a ton of conversation with her. So if you're interested in checking that out, feel free.
USALuxuryDirect.com. Luxury goods to your doorstep. Get name brands like Waterford Crystal, Kate Spade, Swarovski Crystal. A variety of luxury items straight to your doorstep. USALuxuryDirect.com. So we want to thank our sponsor, USA Luxury Direct. As you know, this show is run strictly on donations, and we appreciate them supporting our cause and helping us shout out some good news around the world. If you have a chance, go check out usaluxurydirect.com and put in the code word humanitarian radio, and they'll give you an extra discount.
Positive affirmations wrapped in pop rock songs.
Give me that best case scenario.
It's motivational musician Saint Tone. Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience, at www.sainttone.com.
We can always hug it out.
Pick up his latest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes.
We choose to.
For music with a positive message, check out sainttone.com.
So it's time for some good news from around the world.
This first story comes from Ireland. There is a 15-year-old teenager, Emily Duffy, that came up with this really cool idea after living a rough day on the streets of Dublin, Ireland, and her chore was to experience life as a homeless person to raise money for charity. So there was a group of young teenagers that experienced life on the streets one day, and they did this to raise money. Well, what came out of that for this young girl, Emily, was she created and invented a highly reflective, fire retardant, and waterproof sleeping bag. And, you know, it looks like one of those things that you put on yourself that's silver. They give them out in emergency kits. They reflect the light. But what she did was, and this is really a smart, smart young little girl, the bags are currently being produced by homeless people who are now earning $10 an hour at the homeless center making these bags. And it's a very simple little project that they're working on, but it is bringing thousands of people off the streets. She's created jobs for the homeless just from her experience, and these things are actually really helping. And so they're putting thousands of people into these sleeping bags on the streets to A, keep them warm, keep them dry, and keep them safe. All inspired by one day, spending one day on the streets of Dublin, Ireland.
That's awesome. I think when we hear stories like that, I would love to see the United States adopt some of these stories, because there's solutions to the problems. It's just that we need to start looking for the solutions. And a lot of the solutions have already been out there. It's just a matter of looking around the world and going, oh, this is how they did it.
This is just the reconstruction of an item that's been out forever.
Right, right.
And notice another thing. How many stories do we tell on this show that are teenagers who have invented these things, or they are 6-year-olds, 8-year-olds, 10-year-olds?
Yeah.
Our younger generation is extremely brilliant, and they do not get the credit for that. And I think that if they could get more support from adults, there would be a lot more of these extremely creative ideas.
Well, they're not the kids that we were.
They used to be, right.
No, they're not the kids that we were. These kids are just
far more advanced.
Far more advanced. They're evolved.
Right, and we go back to, you know, me performing as Mrs. Claus on Rodeo Drive for a month and hearing the wishes and dreams of children, and the children, you know, ages 4 to 6 years old are asking for world peace and asking to stop the fighting in certain countries instead of asking for presents from Santa and Mrs. Claus. So, yeah, kids have really evolved. And, you know, parents, open your eyes and take a look and see how you can help a kid develop something awesome.
Well, you know, I'm a true believer in you get what you focus on, and I want to play this song that I wrote called Mama Said, and it's basically about compromise and looking for win-win situations. This is Mama Said by Saint Tone.
Mama
said we can always work it out. Mama said we can always find a way. Mama said we can always work it out. If you want to, Mama said we can always find a way. Break out of worn out ways and find a compromise. Let go of ego and pride. Rock your body as solutions soon arrive. One more seek to find. Mama said we can always work it out if we want to, and Mama said we can always find a way if we choose to, and Mama said we can always work it out if we want to. Do you want to break out on worn out ways and isolate with pride? Embrace the choice to harmonize. Win-win will find its way to collaborate. Two creations now one.
As I sleep on the pillow, Mama glazed my face. Don't rush to fail, succeed at a pace of time that's controlled by your hands. Be an individual, create your own plan. See, Mama knows best, Papa seen it all before. Granny just prayed as I stayed in trouble, and now I stay humbly out of tussles. Put down my fist, let my brain beat the muscle. Put down my fist, let my brain beat the muscle. Put down my fist.
Rain, rain, yeah, rain is something that I share with sunny days. So pray, pray, yeah, pray. The perfect resolution's on its way. On its way. On its way. Mama said we can always work it out. Mama said we can always. Mama said we can always find a way. Find a way. Find a way, find a way, find a way. Mama said,
Mama said,
Mama said, Mama said.
Hey, so that was Mama Said by Saint Tone. If you want to hear that song and a lot of other positive songs, be sure to go to www.sainttone.com. That's SAINTTONE.com.
Okay, and so we are back, and we are so delighted to have on our show with us today, Mr. Brookshire Lafayette. Hello, darling. How are you?
I am amazing. I just want to say thank you guys for having me on. It's great to kind of, you know, I had you guys on my show. Now you're bringing me on your show. I really appreciate that, and I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. You know, we didn't tell people about your show, so why don't you go ahead and just briefly say what that was about, and then we'll go on to some really great things that you got going on.
Awesome. Well, you know, back in the day, a couple of years back, I think we go way back, I want to say 2000, maybe 12, or maybe 13, I was doing a show, which I still have archives out, and I'm doing tours around it called the BK Experience, which is basically having life your way, kind of played off of Burger King a little bit, you know, having food your way, but having life your way, because I think you should. And you guys came on the show, the whole band, Think Tone, came on, and I interviewed each and every single one of you guys, amazing individuals, and we had a blast. You know, I'm sure that archive is up on YouTube somewhere that people can find it. But we had a blast interviewing each one of you, and then you guys did a performance. And then now here we are, working on some magic.
Well, you know, we've been talking about you for a few years because you inspired us so much, and we did absolutely have a blast in your studio with you that day.
Thank you.
Whole band enjoyed it. And when we ran into you again recently, after Tony and I had been discussing that we needed to find you again, it was absolutely divinely brought together, I believe, because when we started chatting about what you're doing and what we're doing, there's so much synergy there that
yes.
It's great to decide that let's all play together again.
Uh-huh. That sandbox is big enough for all of us, so I appreciate you inviting me back in.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
So one of the things that we were talking about doing is working together, and it's helping out the vets. And so let's just talk a little bit about that, because I think there's some real interest in there, because there's so many veterans out there that are having problems just getting back into society. And I know one of the things that we're talking about doing is putting on some type of fundraiser for them. So give us a little more insight as far as your angle on it.
Okay, so I come from a military town, Jacksonville, North Carolina, East Coast, which has, you know, some of the biggest military bases on the East Coast, and my father was a retired master general sergeant in the Marine Corps. I served 28-plus years, so I grew up kind of in that background and around a military town, and so from that, my dad suffered from PTSD, even though he was an old schooler with it. You know, you just kind of placed him as, oh, that's just your daddy, or that's just him. You know, there were certain issues that were there that were masked at a certain time that people back then handled differently than the people that are handling it that I realize today. I got a phone call, or several phone calls last year, constantly, from my best friend that lives in my hometown that was constantly calling me saying, another Marine just killed his family or killed himself. You know what I'm saying? And it was just kind of happening so rapidly that it was like something has to get done. Something must happen. I was doing a show, and I have a good friend of mine named Ty Retter. He's a neuro-linguistic programming expert. And timeline therapy expert, which neuro is the way the mind works, linguistic is the language, and then, you know, programmers is kind of how you put everything together, how the person maneuvers, pretty much the science of human excellence, the study of human excellence, and how people can get to that point. So this young man, Ty Redford, has this training program, a rehabilitation program concerning or geared towards PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And with knowing him and knowing what Kaya can offer, I felt like, okay, that's enough. I have access to someone that can make a change. Because PTSD is all in the mind. I mean, it's a mental thing. Your mind is hijacked because of an experience that has happened to you.
Yeah,
and you're trying to figure out how to get it back.
I want to jump in there a second and say, this doesn't just happen to people in the armed service, although it's probably most popular there, because I experienced that myself, and so has recently a friend of mine from a car accident.
Oh, wow.
From just being rear-ended, and I had gone through that post-traumatic experience. So just for listeners out there, this can happen to you in a blink.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, it's, some people deal with it with rape, some people deal with it with abuse, you know, some people, you know, they see murder or through war also, because, you know, any kind of situation that hijacks your mind and you're not able to process it as quick as you may have thought you would have, you know, these things can happen to you. But the good thing about it is there are tools to control the mind, because we do have the ability to control what we think about, but we have to know that we can. And so it's all about being around the right environment and having the right information. And this is what we want to provide, and what I got inspired to do with the BK Experience, taking that show on tour and doing a tour that will bring Kaya, a kind of a music motivation comedy kind of tour that can gear towards not only the veterans, but the families connected to these individuals and the towns connected to these individuals, kids, et cetera, to make a lasting change with them, do something creative, do something fun, but that will still, you know, insert that information in them. Because when you go to these military, I take military towns specifically, not just the military bases, because you understand all the different things that are happening in that town. People are being deployed, you know, families are being split up constantly. You know, you have the threat of somebody maybe never coming home. You have all those things that are in that town, even if you're not necessarily connected to someone directly, you're still experiencing it. So we know that when we plant the right information in that town, it's needed. It's like going into a town that has no money. If you know that if you talk about prosperity, they're going to need that because you can see the town. So we want to be able to implement the right information. And that's what the BK experience, Have a Life Your Way, Geared Towards Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder Tour is about. And we're partnering with you guys also to help make that happen. And then with so many other people, because it's not just about what I do. I created the vision, but the vision has to take a team and the synergy that we can collect and get a lot of people touched and changed and at least give them choices.
And that's the biggest thing is a lot of people don't realize what choices they have. And the other thing is it's kind of a shame because people are embarrassed to say that they have PTSD. So a lot of people go unhelped because there's a lot of stigmas surrounded around it. Oh, you have PTSD. You must be a little crazy or something. You know, people don't get the realization that, hey, this could happen to you in a flash. Like I said, with me, I got rear-ended. And the next thing you know, I'm thrown into that tailspin for a time and had to go to therapy to correct it and all that fun stuff. It's not it's not something to be afraid of talking about. It's like alcoholism. Right. It's like drug abuse. You can talk about this, people, and let other people know what's going on to find you some help.
Correct. I agree. And, you know, and some people that we find, you know, don't realize it, you know, what they're going through. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They know that something's different, but at the same time, as they're trying to figure it out, they're, you know, everybody else is going through it with them. So, you know, I think it's all about sometimes just allowing a person to see, you know, when they see a story. I remember Oprah looking at, you know, why she was so connected to, let's say, The Color Purple. I know it's a little different, but she said for the first time when she read that book, she saw someone just like her. She saw someone telling her story, even when she didn't even know what her story was, really, at that time. You know, and I think when we put it out there in a music, comedy, motivational type of way, you know, we have some great times, but we're still infiltrating and still implementing the right information. A person can, on their own time, say, wow, I didn't even know that's what I was going through, but I know how to handle it now. You know, I have a resource or somewhere to go. So that's what we want to do. You know, like Google, we want to make sure that when they start searching for it, they can find it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, awareness is probably the thing that you're trying to really penetrate through, that they do have a choice and they do have a means to correct this situation. It's not helplessness. And a lot of times I think what happens with these guys, women and men, is they fall into drugs and they fall into alcoholism because they're like looking for an escape out of their head and out of their mind.
It's the only thing they know that they have access to.
It's the only thing that they know to quickly get out of their head instead of saying, hold on, I can take control of what my thoughts are. And though this has happened in the past, I can change my future and I can eliminate some of these thoughts that have power over me. So I think it's a great idea. And I'm very excited to be a part of what you're trying to do and making a change out there and bringing some positive music and just bringing awareness to the people in these towns that, hey, guys, there's people around you that are suffering from these situations and there is help and there is an answer. And let's expose those opportunities to these people. I think it's really great that, you know, you came from a military family and you're taking responsibility to help others to see that there is a way. Because back in the day, there wasn't a lot of talk about it. It was just like, hey, just that's the way it is. Just deal with it. Now we understand more. It is a disease or it is something that really is happening and how to correct it. So I applaud you for taking the stance to try to make a difference, because it is something that's a big issue. And a lot of people go, oh, well, it's not affecting me personally, so I just want to push it aside. But indirectly, it is affecting you because
it's happening all around you.
Yeah, when it's happening all around you and these people are under a lot of stress, you know, that's why a lot of these guys go homeless. And it's like, look, they served our country. Next thing you know, they're on the streets because they became a drug addict and they're like, they can't cope. So,
well, the one thing that you said that makes a lot of sense that I want to jump in on was, you know, a disease. But anytime that the mind is at dis-ease, then it's open for anything negative to enter in. Disease, sickness, you know, worry, you know, fear, doubt, and all those things bring about more stress on top of the situation. And everything that we battle, the individual has to realize is between our two ears. You know, it's really all in mind. Sometimes it's really not as bad as we imagine it or created to be on top of everything else that we reach in that lake of crap and bring up. And so it's all about allowing the individual to understand how to be, I guess, you know, skilled performers. Understanding that everything that we have in life is our field, and everything that every choice we make, every decision that we make, we're planting. And what a skillful farmer does, if he wants to have a harvest, he is going to understand how to cultivate his fields correctly. He's going to understand, though, how to plant. He's going to understand how to protect water and secure his mind and his ground, because he understands what comes out of that. And I think once the individual takes responsibility, or we allow and teach and give them tools on how to take responsibility, then, you know, then they're able to be equipped to do the things that they need to, because life is long if you live it, and, you know, you want to live it with the tools you need, because there's going to always be blows coming at you, whether people are going to always die around you, there's going to be people getting sick, there's going to be things that are happening. So a person has to toughen up and be able to put the things in their life to be able to move through this life, because we're put here, and since we're put here, we do have what it takes to live. And live happiness if we choose to. And we need to give people the, you know, the choice to know that they can choose to live happy. It is possible.
Absolutely. And you know what I feel is it's giving the power back to the individual to say, hey, look, I have a choice. I can either live in this right. misery, or I can shift my focus, because I believe you get what you focus on. And a lot of times people don't realize that. And once you pull that victim card, then you no longer take responsibility for what's going on, because let's face it, whatever has happened to you has happened to you, but now you still have a choice to say, am I going to fall victim of this, or am I going to take this and am I going to empower myself to overcome it? And once I do overcome it, can I teach others to overcome it? And I think that's the key. Once you see someone else overcome their situation, you go, well, geez, if that guy did it, then I guess I can do it too. And now all of a sudden now they realize that they do have the power to make changes within themselves, and they aren't the victim, because everyone can play the victim card. It's the easiest thing to do. It's like, well, hey man, this happened to me, and I might have lost.
Poor me, pity me.
Yeah, poor me, and now I don't have any power. So once you have no power, then you're strictly a victim, and now you're just going to go with wherever the wind blows. You have no more power, and that is probably the worst place you can be. I think it's better to get angry and get mad to pull yourself closer to getting power back. Yes, because powerlessness is, you're done. You're a puppet.
Yeah, and the one thing that you said, I think that is key is, you know, people being able to share their testimony. I mean, even from a biblical standpoint, you know, it's all about people's testimony that allow them telling their stories, you know, of how they overcame situations or situations they never thought, that empower other people to say, well, dang, if you can do it, man, I can do it. Your situation was worse than mine. So it's all about, we don't tell our testimony to get sympathy, because then it defeats purpose. We tell our testimony to show how we empowered through, you know, to mm-hmm. give a person, you know, building blocks or stepping stones on, you know, you can do it also. You don't necessarily take my route, you know, because maybe I didn't do it right. But my testimony is you can overcome. And I think that's what people need. And you mentioned the veteran, you know, people getting, you know, losing their homes and things. You know, I think we were speaking a little bit earlier on a company that I started and a foundation that I'm really passionate about, which is Hope for Tenants, the Hope for Tenants Foundation. You know, after being in the court system and dealing with evictions and the loss of containers for the last 5 years or so, I got a chance to really see how potentially the homelessness, and especially in LA, could be connected to, you know, for veterans, disabled people, and families can be connected directly to the court system and the loss of container courtroom. Right. You know, it's one of the things that I am inspired and passionate about doing, because about 2-3 years ago, all of the court reporters in the civil courts got removed from the courthouse. I guess it was budget cuts. But there's only about 7 to 10 actual unlawful detainer court hubs that, you know, basically deal with all of Los Angeles. But yet those court hubs are evicting hundreds and thousands of people, you know, within a 30, sometimes 60-day period. I mean, some of these people don't have homes, they don't have jobs, they don't have whatever they need to kind of protect themselves,
right,
you know, from it. And there's no record, even if they appeal. So my goal is I want to figure out a way to get back into at least those hubs, salary employees that can be court reporters in there, just like in restraining order courtrooms. Criminal courts have court reporters in there consistently, and then also family law, usually the things that govern your 14th Amendment of your Constitution and your property, because now there's more renters than there were homeowners when the Constitution was established, or this is their home. They are exchanging dollars for a contract to have peace in their home, and a lot of these landlords now are taking advantage of that. And I believe with having court reporters in the court, you know, I would like to hope it will keep some sort of peace, or at least it will keep a record for the individual to protect themselves, which could prevent less homelessness and less families and disability people and veterans on the street. That's what I'm trying to implement.
Absolutely. And, you know, it would be really interesting to create a network of court reporters that each could devote an hour a day to going over to the other courtroom, because I played around in the court reporting field for 4 years myself in Florida before I had an accident.
Oh, nice.
Couldn't do the speed anymore. But your court reporters are already in all the different courtrooms in the courthouse. So imagine if when you're done your shift, you go next door and you contribute an hour of your time to what's happening in the next room. That could be a really cool solution to get some activity going in that realm. And how easy would that be, you court reporter friends of mine who are listening to this show today?
Right.
Yeah, but
it's definitely needed.
You know, volunteering, there's a million different ways you can volunteer to really change the lives of people. And Berkshire, you just opened a whole other avenue and thought pattern in my head for another way that people can volunteer to help the lives of others around them.
Well, just to tap on that real quick, Janie, is that what's really interesting is that these are people that are already skilled in their field. They're already there.
Right. Yeah,
they're in the courthouse. So it's literally they walk over and put an hour in, and that 1 hour can change so many people's lives.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's incredible.
I sat in a courtroom, and in an hour, they can go through 40 people quickly in an hour.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because you're in front of the judge for maybe 5 seconds, maybe I'll say 2 to 10 minutes if you're lucky. And there's a motion hearing. Usually it's really quick because they already kind of know what's going on. It's like a tennis match. You get a chance to say something, you get the other person, and then you have a last rebuttal, and that's it. So, I mean, an hour will be crucial because they're only in there 8 hours. I mean, when you think about it, from 8:30 until 12 o'clock, and then from 1:30 until 4:30. So, I mean, it's not a big, you know, I mean, I know it's a lot of work for the court reporter, but I mean, it really will help save lives. And if the person decides to appeal, which a lot of times they may need to, or do any type of post-judgment because there was an error in the law, because what I found out, and the courtroom and the unlawful detainers have said it, a lot of times when they send these cases from the main hub out to like another court to actually hear the trial, okay, on the day of the trial or a jury trial, usually those judges don't know anything about landlord-tenant law. They may have practiced family law, criminal law, some other stuff, and now they get this tenant in front of them, and maybe they're a landlord themselves, and they're looking like, if the man wants you out, get out, you know?
That's like putting your grandmother on a construction site and saying, build the house.
Exactly. And they do it every day, and people are getting put out, and they know the judges in the unlawful detainer, that's their calendar room, know that the courts that they're sending the cases out do not understand the body of law to the sensitivity that it must. Because a lot of times in the decisions of a judge, they have a lot of discretion to do some things. However, when it comes down to a person's property, and especially if there's some sort of inhabitability and certain conditions under the code, there's certain things that says what the court must do. And there's a difference when the court has discretion to do and when the court must do if this is done. And if a court doesn't understand that, neither does the person in pro per understand that, they're getting taken advantage of. And the plaintiff, trust me, his only job is to get you out however he needs to, because he's completely disengaged from the fact that you're a human and that's your home, because he's done it so long to put you out of it. So he's completely, like, solid. He wants you out. He don't care what it is. you know?
Yeah.
It's just a job for him.
Right.
And it's unfortunate.
It's like, next, gavel down, next.
See, but, you know, within that, there is help. And I think, I think you know, like we just suggested, is somehow establishing a group of court reporters to actually just start a little meetup group where they actually each one were to volunteer a half hour, hour of their time each day. What kind of impact that could have.
Yeah.
And I think it's amazing. I mean, it seems like you have really studied a lot of how the court system works. And a lot of times these guys are like, well, they're overworked and underpaid. So there has to be a solution that has to come from another area. And it has to come from someone caring enough to volunteer to say, hey, I want to help, because that could be
that could
be my family someday, or that could be someone I know someday that just gets caught up in the system, and they just get caught up in the system and they fall through the cracks. It happens every day, but there's solutions. And I think that's the main focus, is that, yes, there's a lot of problems out there, but when we can find a solution and start focusing on that and putting some energy behind it, and just even starting the conversation like we are here and getting this conversation out to the public, is enough for people to go, wow, I never thought of that, or I didn't realize that that could happen here in America. I mean, there's a lot of things.
I want to make sure every court reporter knows that I understand, you know, for a half an hour a day, you know, a court reporter is making anywhere between $300 to $500 right now, if not more, for just a half an hour a day. Now, don't even think about a full day. I mean, so it's completely unaffordable for a person that usually is in low income with a fee waiver going to court. Now, there are grants, and I don't know if we spoke about it, but there are grants, and there are things that what we want to do under Hope for Tennis also, as we start, you know, get the foundation moving, was to be able to get donors to donate the money to where, even if we could have them in as a salary and pay their salary according to the grant, we could afford to do it, because that's the only way that, you know, when you got to go and sign a fee waiver at the court and all your fees are waived, is because the courts are getting funding, you know, from some sort of grant, some sort of donor, whether it's the government or private, et cetera, that where they're able to accommodate that. So even if we have in the private sector have to go after it, it is something that I know is needed, because I've done the research, I've been a victim of it personally, and I do know the importance of having a record to protect yourself. Because even if you bring on an attorney, even if you go anywhere else, how is the person going to know what's said if it's only you and the judge, and you know, and so many people, you play the phone game. You pass the message along, and by the time it gets to the fourth person, it's a whole different message.
So, Brookshire, tell people how they can help to get behind you on both of these projects. Like, where can they find you, and how can they support you? Obviously, financially always really helps in any projects that we're trying to do some, you know, great awareness, and also to just make things start to happen. So donations are always fabulous, but volunteering is as well. So how can people help you out?
Well, first of all, the websites are in the construction aspect of being remodeled. So as they come back, of course, the finance is in place. But then the people, I would say, the individuals that may listen to this show or that know someone that's in legislation or in the right, you know, positions that can help make these projects move forward. Because at the end of the day, it's all about a connection. Once you're given an idea, you got to connect it with someone that's going to allow it or help you make it happen.
Right.
Whether it's news, publicists, whatever. So I guess if anything, just praying that the right connections that have the heart, like you guys have come on, that want to come on and see the bigger picture and say, okay, this is what I can contribute. This is how we can do this, and then continue to just, you know, to grow it. And I believe that once the people get the message will then lead the people to give, whether it's their time, money. Obviously, you have to have some sort of money or someone's money to be able to rent buildings, to be able to get to locations and really implement and to sustain. People have life bills, and I understand that, but it's all about those wanting to give and do because they understand the mission. So I'm looking for those individuals that can see and connect, and then can say, hey, I know this person, that person, and we can get something done, because it's really connected to people's life. PTSD, you know, Hope for Tennis, this is around people's life, not only in Los Angeles, but
right.
in America, the world. you know, and I think we need to bring awareness in it. I think it's a unique way of bringing awareness, but I do believe that if we can touch one person, that could be the next president one day that can change the life, or the next person that can find a cure to this or that, you know, or
absolutely.
To, you know, by that one person's life being changed. And we have the tools and the information to do it. So for those out there that have a pocketbook or,
yeah.
you know, or the connection or the resources to help with vision, you know, we have a clear vision. It's all about just having the other additions to make it happen. And that's what we're looking for.
And we always say on the show, it only takes one person to make a significant change in humanity as a whole.
Correct.
It only takes one person, and it takes one person to create the idea, and then it takes a team of people to jump in with them and help. And if you are the one person that creates the idea, which you are in this case, and then in the audience member is the one person who hears this, who wants to help and joins in, and then one more person hears and joins in, the one person system works out to be something that changes the whole shape of humanity.
So, that's correct.
So I want to say to our listeners out there, if you are the one person looking for a great way to do something that fills your soul, check out what he's doing. Find a way to back him, even if it's just getting him a connection to someone who can help. That is a huge thing to do. So we absolutely encourage everybody to just take a peek at some of these projects. Get behind them in any way you can, even if it's just spreading the word on your Facebook, telling other people about these situations that are happening and making more awareness. Every little bit you can do helps hugely in these situations.
I agree.
We look forward to having some announcements of great events that we've got coming up with you, and totally look forward to just chatting with you again about other things that you've got going on. And we didn't get into the movie and the show side of you, but I would love to do that again one day on an interview and talk about the positive shows and things you are also doing.
Yes, definitely. And I just want to let your listeners know that, you know, you can definitely also reach me from the website at iambrookshire.com. That's iambrookshire.com. And then also go to Hope for Tenet, which is H-O-P-E, the number 4, Tenet, T-E-N-A-N-T-S.com. Hope I spelled that right because I was doing off memory. And go to there and check it out, you know, and look around. It's going to continue to be updated and moving forward. But everything helps. And, you know, like I said again, I appreciate you guys. Thank you so, so much for having me on and being able to spread this word and continuing to spread the word for me and this project and touching people's lives the way that you do, and much success for you guys going forward. And I definitely look forward to coming back on. And then when I got another show happening, you guys coming back on.
You got it, my friend.
Keep it up.
We'll keep the energy moving forward.
All right, darling. Well,
thank you so much
for joining us today, and we'll definitely talk to you again soon, and look forward to hanging out with you, my friend.
Yes, yes, yes. Everybody be blessed. We'll talk soon. Thank you again.
Thanks, honey.
So every week we like to dedicate a song to our guests, and this week I'd like to dedicate the song Instant Karma to our friend Brookshire, because he's doing some great things out there, and he's putting out a really positive vibe, trying to change the world, and karma, what goes around comes around, and I'm wishing him all the best. This is my version of the John Lennon song, Instant Karma.
Instant karma's gonna get you, gonna knock you right in the head. You better get yourself together, pretty soon you're gonna be dead. What were you thinking of? Get you, gonna look you right in the face. You better get yourself together, darling. Join the human race. How in the world you gonna see laughing at fools like me? Who on earth do you think you are? Stop!
natural brothers. Everybody you meet. Why would I be here? Surely not to live in pain and fear. Why the hell are you there? Well, you're everywhere. Come on, get yourself. We all shine on. At the moon, in the stars, in the sun. We all shine on. Everyone, come on, come on. We're all right. Yeah. Shine on.
Once again, that's my version of the John Lennon classic, Instant Karma. You can check that out at www.sainttone.com.
Here are some events that may be happening in your area. Check out events calendar on humanitarianradio.com. In February, we have a yoga and snowshoe retreat in Lenox, Massachusetts. Healing the Heart, February 5th to the 7th in Carlsbad, California. February 15th to the 20th is the Wellness and Spiritual Retreat in India. If you're looking for something to do and you want to plan ahead to a vacation, we have events all the way through May of 2016 on our events calendar. So feel free to join us. And if you know of something we should be posting, please let us know on humanitarianradio.com. You know, if you're looking for a little spark on your any day, you can always go back to humanitarianradio.com and check out any of our previous shows. We do keep them on there so that we can inspire you to find some good news for your soul. Do something great for someone else in your world.
Yeah, and if you know of a story or if you know of someone that should be on our show, by all means, connect with us on Facebook at Humanitarian Radio or go to our website, humanitarianradio.com, and reach out to us. Let us know any good news that you have out there that you want to share with the world.
Make it a good week.
We'll see you next time. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.